Good morning, everybody. It's lovely to see you here on this nice summer morning, as was when you came in. It's now raining, so, but it's nice to see you. And we've only got one extra intimation today, and that is to say that Limekilns are having a gala on the 13th of August, and the church is having a stall. So if anybody's interested, you're very welcome to attend. And see, this is the last of the elder-led services, and next week we've got Norman back, so we'll look forward to that. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome. The theme of our service today is prayer. That was suggested by the lectionary for today. So let's begin worshipping God this morning with the hymn 189. Be still for the presence of the Lord. In prayer.
Let us pray. Holy Father, we take this moment to pause and wonder at your greatness and your mercy. How we should praise you. As we still ourselves before your majesty and wait in awe, yet we are also bold to lift up our eyes to see you face to face. We call you our King, our Saviour, our inspiration, our friend. Too often we rush by and fail to take that time to marvel and exclaim at the wonder of this world, the intricacy of creation, the abundance of good things you have given us to enjoy and to share. This day, Lord, we sing your praises. This day, Lord, we rejoice in your generosity. This day, Lord, we are glad you continue to reach out to us, even us, with love. Forgive us, Lord, when we so easily slip into bad habit, shameful action, unhealthy obsession, lazy forgetfulness. O gracious God, have mercy on us. Forgive us, remake us, redeem us, restore us. When all seems lost beyond hope, yet still you reach out in tenderness and kindness to make that difference in our hearts and souls and minds. To reinstate the broken relationship, to give us the second chance we sorely need. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you so much, Marion. They were lovely. Alistair's going to dedicate the offering and then he will set the scene for us.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do indeed give you our thanks and our praise. We thank you that you are our creator, you are our provider, and we thank you for the gifts you give us. We acknowledge that everything we have comes from your hand. So in return, in thankfulness for all that we have received, we bring to you our offerings. We ask you that you will bless them and bless the work to which they are put. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. A young man was looking for work as felling trees, and he approached the foreman of a local company to ask for a job. The foreman looked at him and said, "Well, it depends. Let's see how good you are. Let's see if we can chop that one down." So he got his axe out and very skillfully chopped down this tree. The foreman was impressed and said, "Starting Monday." So Monday came, and Julie did. Worked Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. At the end of the shift on Thursday, the foreman gave him his wages. And the young man looked a bit bemused. "I thought we'd get paid on Friday." "Well, normally we do," says the foreman, "but we noticed that your productivity levels have declined quite sharply over the days that we've been here. We're going to have to let you go." So the young man was a bit upset and he says, "Listen, I arrive first in the morning, I'm last to leave at night." And the foreman thought, "Yeah, well, true. Tell me, have you been sharpening your axe?" And the young man said, "Well, no. I've been too busy working to take the time." How about you? Have you been sharpening your axe? For prayer is what gives us the sharp edge. And without prayer, the more work that you do, the harder you work, the duller you become. So we need to take time to stay sharp as we go about the work of Christ's kingdom. When do you pray? Regularly? Only in church? Or just when you desperately need something? Corrie ten Boom, the writer, speaker, survivor of a concentration camp, once asked the question, "Is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tyre?" Our subject this morning is prayer, and I'd like us to consider what prayer is and also what priority we give prayer in our lives.
Thank you, Alistair. So let's continue in worship with hymn 547, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." And it is a reminder that Jesus wants us to pray.
Jesus, so our sins are free.
Alison will read for us Jesus' teaching on prayer from Luke.
The Bible reading this morning is Luke 11, verses 1 to 13. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation." Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the other inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door's already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Amen.
Thank you so much, Alison. And now Alistair is going to share his thoughts with us about prayer.
So what is prayer? Are you the kind of impatient person? Do you always think God is late in answering your prayers? Well, Jesus spoke to the issues of how to pray, how long to pray for, and how long God might take to respond. And using the picture of a man desperately trying to borrow 3 loaves of bread from a friend at midnight, Jesus encourages boldness in prayer, assuring us that God does answer. We're not to be discouraged if time goes by and we see no answer. Persistence will, in the end, win over the most reluctant friend. Yet there's no reluctance on God's part to answer. Remember, though, that God is not a celestial servant waiting at our beck and call. Neither does he rely on us to give him the answer. If a sleeping neighbour will act in response to a persistent request, how much more God? That doesn't mean that we will get our own way if our request is contrary to God's will. Jesus also calls us to trust when we pray. Our request should be made in full confidence that God knows our needs before we ask. Again, that doesn't mean that we get everything we ask for, but an assurance that what we do receive will be good. Prayer is talking and listening to God. Words are used to express love, to ask for help and to share concerns. Prayer should be honest and sincere. We cannot pretend with God because he knows us through and through. Nor do we have to put in "thy," "thee," or "thou" into our prayers. God will still understand. And we might all have our own favourite versions of the Lord's Prayer, but Remember that Jesus didn't recite the King James Version. And because prayer is listening to God as well as speaking, we need to leave time for pauses and for quietness for receiving from him too. Of course, whether praying privately or publicly, it should not be pretentious or empty repetition. It's not the length of the prayer which is important, but the attitude, humble, unpretentious, and trusting. Every person is different and every prayer is unique. And for a model prayer, we have the Lord's Prayer. Yet Jesus is not supplying a form of words for us to repeat, something like some mantra. And that is a danger, that it becomes vain repetition. It is the kind of prayer which Jesus wishes his followers to adopt. It is a pattern for prayer. It is simple, it is brief, it is intimate. It teaches us to come to God simply talking to him as a son or daughter to a father, sharing our concerns and confidently telling him our needs. It begins by calling God Father. Richard Wurmbrand comments, in the Lord's Prayer, the word I is missing completely. That's I as in me, not I. In the Lord's Prayer, the word I is missing completely, although it is one of the most frequently spoken words in the prayers of men. Christians should not be I-centred, but God-centred. The prayer affirms the fatherhood of God, reminding us that we owe our origins to him and that he cares for us as his children. God delights in his children developing both the habit and the freedom of asking him for help. God is holy, and his holiness must be reflected in the way in which we address God in prayer. Before anything is asked for ourselves, God in his glory must be given that due reverence. It must come first. All prayer implies God's greatness and his worthiness to be praised and respected. Prayer helps us feel close to him and in touch with him. And so the Lord's Prayer covers all of life. It covers present need. It tells us to pray for daily bread, but it's bread for the day, for each day for which we pray. Forgiveness is an important part of our prayers too, and divine and human forgiveness are interrelated. The prayer covers past sin, and Jesus speaks here of daily forgiveness, which is necessary to restore broken communion with God. So each day we're asking for our bread. Each day we're asking for forgiveness. And if we do not forgive others, God will not forgive us. It covers future trials, any tempting situation. But don't go looking for it. Don't pray one thing and do the other. Be on guard against Satan's wiles, for prevention is better than cure. John Stott makes comment on the Lord's Prayer. He said, it consists of six petitions, three expressing our passion for the glory of God, his name, kingdom, and will, followed by three expressing our dependence on his grace for our daily bread, forgiveness of our sins, and deliverance from evil. The Lord's Prayer is a summary of our discipleship, our concern for God's glory, and our dependence on his mercy. Dependence is a fundamental attitude for all of us whenever we say the Lord's Prayer. Who do we pray to? God, as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But when we pray to God, it should be through Jesus Christ in his name. Through his death, Jesus opened the way for us into God's presence. Now Jesus is at God's right hand interceding for us. So pray in Jesus' name. Prayer then is more than something we just do in church. We should also pray before we come to church not just for the service, but also for our own preparation. But much more than that, we need to adopt an attitude of prayer in our daily lives. Find a daily slot in your life for prayer and reflection, and find moments in the busyness of your day as well, lest you forget. Forgetting not just to pray, but also forgetting about God. Unforeseen circumstances do happen, but how often do we take on things or enter into situations without prayer? Prayer is talking and listening to God, our Heavenly Father. To grow in our Christian life, we need to get to know God. And one way to do that, in addition to reading the Bible, is through prayer. At times, your prayers will arise from one of these unforeseen circumstances. And when there is no immediate answer, you may feel trapped in your situation, perhaps because of a limited perception of it. Remember, though, that God can see the whole picture, while we are only aware of what is happening here and now. And this is where faith and trust come in, where you need to let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. God won't leave us trapped. Sooner or later, he will answer our prayers, but in his own time. He asks us to trust him and to know what is needed and when. Our calling is to ask, even persistently, and to grow in the process. And so, one of the benefits of prayer is how much we change, which brings us to perhaps what is the main point of prayer: to help us to develop a personal relationship with God and his Son, Jesus Christ. Research suggests that children who regularly talk to their fathers feel happier with life. Well, maybe not this young boy. A father had taken his young son to bring your children to work day. And the little one looked really disappointed when he came home, and his mother asked him why. And he told her, "I never got to see the clowns Dad said he worked with." So why not give our Heavenly Father a call? It'll be good for you. And you know God's phone number, Jeremiah 33:3. "Call to me and I will answer you." Will you take up the prayer challenge? It's not hard, just speak and listen. Call him and let him transform your life. In fact, today, why not just do it?
Thank you, Alistair. Marion is going to lead us in prayers for other people.
Let us pray. Eternal God, we may only see our small corner of this earth, but you will see the whole expanse of countless universes. Yet we are called to bring our prayers not only for ourselves, but for those around us. In a world fraught with fear and violence and greed, we pray that darkness is driven out by the light of compassion, of open-handedness, and of peace. Let these not be mere words we pray, but words we put into action through our support. We pray for our Queen and country and all who are called to be the decision makers in our society at every level, for politicians and economists, for artists and scientists, for farmers and business owners, for those who provide our energy and secure our safety. We pray for our world in its beauty and fragility, the astonishing resources and the unsustainable demands we make on them. As we seek to form a new relationship with you, our God, and with our sisters and brothers, let us also seek to form a new relationship with this earth we call our home, nurturing it, tending it, stewarding its beauty and energy, not only for ourselves, but also for the generations still to come. O holy God, so much to pray for, one prayer is not enough. So may we pledge this day to offer new prayers each morning, each night, as we revel in your presence, humble ourselves in your mercy, strengthen ourselves in your love. Through Jesus Christ, our Saviour and Lord. Amen.
So much, Marian. Our final hymn is number 493. We sing of a love that sets all people free. That's what you get for over-typing. Sorry, I do apologise. The hymn is actually, it's me, O Lord. Congregational-led service is actually the work of a team. So as convener of that team, I want to thank the team members, Alistair, Derek, Marian, and Marian chose the hymns. So Alistair is now going to give us the blessing.
Go in the peace of God. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look kindly on you and give you peace.